Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, that fucking sucked. It's the Hoops and Half of Vikings podcast. I am your host today, Reddit Mavericks. I am joined by two of our contributors for MFLs.com. We have Tim, Ultralight Beam on Twitter. How you doing, Tim?
What's up? You have two more supporting cast members than Luka had this series.
Yeah, exactly. and then we're also joined by Isaac. How you doing, Isaac?
Doing good, doing good.
You know, as good as we probably can at the moment. It's been a few hours since the game ended. I didn't want to do something immediately after just because I'd guessed over. Actually, Squish was over, and you know, we thought about recording, but it was just like, nah, dude, we're really feeling it. And you know, Don's busy right now too. So, but we decided to record a little bit later just because I wanted the emotions to kind of go down. Like, at this point, like, I'm fine for, you know, I don't really give a fuck anymore about, you know, what happened. And I know Reddit and Twitter will constantly harp about it, but I really don't care. Guys, I mean, that was a series, seven game series, Luka's first ever game seven. I think he did pretty well, you know,
dominated. Jesus,
the stats were pretty good. Somehow got, you know, double digit, assists, even though it seemed like no one could hit anything. And you know, I've been looking at like the quotes he's had, you know, the quotes he had about, you know, like, we haven't really done anything. Like, you know, there's not really a win in any of this because we didn't win series. That's a fair assessment, I think, from Luka. Luka is a fucking, he's a different beast and does not take like losing very lightly. Hitting his free throws today for the most part. That was cool. Even though he shot, I think, shot something like 50% for the series, which is insane. Literally, I think at one point he was shooting better from three than from the free throw line, which is
crazy. In the first four games he was,
fucking dumb. But
if he would have hit two more of his free throws a day, he would have set an all time record for points in a game seven by anybody.
Yeah,
damn, that would have been cool. Well, you know, whatever. It wouldn't have mattered because that 2 points doesn't make up for the 15 points that we're losing by. But I don't know, man. My personal feelings about this, I guess this the series, is that, you know, it didn't go the way we wanted it to, obviously. I was very much not saying the word win all day, because I was just like, I don't want to fucking even think about this. Like, you know. I will say that seeing Luka doing what he's doing is fucking crazy. He needs more help, obviously. And I think like a lot of stars, you know, when they first really start making a name for themselves are like that. Like, you know, like LeBron dragged a fucking terrible team in 2007 to the finals. And that's fucking insane. You know, it took a little while for like for Kobe and, you know, Shaq to mesh well and actually win, you know, start winning.
Right.
You know, just what it is. You know, like even Shaq when he was younger, like with Magic, you know, could never get over that hump to actually win a series, to win, you know, the big one. So I don't know, man. Like, you know, I think the only one I can think of that's actually like was like good from the get go, I think, that actually won like series was like Tim Duncan, dude, when he's a fucking freak in himself.
And so, that was lottery balls too.
Yeah, that was lottery
balls.
Yeah, that was like perfect storm. Yeah, you know, because he already had a fucking great team around him, you know, with Adam and everybody. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm not mad anymore about it. Like, you know, just what it is, what it is. Clearly, like, I'm sure, you know, Mark Cuban was there at the game and had, you know, front row seats, like, and he saw the talent that we put around Luka, and I know people have been calling for Rick's head and everything, but if we gotta be mad at anybody, man, it has to be the front office, and that includes Mark, you know. You know, you just have to be like, this dude, this kid is not, he's not Dirk, you know, as much as like I love the kid, like he's not Dirk, you know. And I'm a big advocate for just like players like doing what's best for them, whether it be like get stupid paid or, you know, leave a team to, you know, to go get rings. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Well, we can just stop pretending that anyone is ever going to be Dirk or Kobe or Tim Duncan in this league again. That's a thing of the past.
Yeah, I think the last two remaining are going to be Dame and Steph. You know, that like that's it.
Right.
And Steph obviously.
And Dame might be out.
Yeah, like, Dame. Because I mean, you know, they just fired Terry Stotts, and then Jason Kidd was like, "No, I don't want to coach there." And I don't know how Dame feels about that.
Right.
But yeah, man, I just, you know, the season. I mean, the season in general, like this season, was interesting to say the least.
Chaotic.
I remember at the beginning of the season, Luka saying, like, Luka, I think, telling, like, McMahon basically that the team that has the least COVID issues is going to go the furthest, you know. And we had COVID issues in December, you know, December, January. So that really derailed us a lot. You know, it never looked like Maxey was the same. It never looked like Josh Richardson was the same. And obviously, like, I can't put the entire thing on COVID, you know. Because like once, I think once like they came back, they never really talked about it again. And so I don't know, like they were still dealing with stuff or anything like that. You know, those two guys are never the same. I wish that we had gotten more run with like Josh Green during the season just to, you know, get him primed.
Have him as an option in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, obviously Tyrell Terry like had the season off basically with personal issues that we'll never probably ever know about unless he tells us, which is fine. That's, you know, that's his right as a human being to, you know, to have privacy. You know, Kristaps, that's the 7'3", you know, elephant in the building, you know, elephant in the room. He is, you know, the comments he made today were interesting after the game. It definitely sounded like someone who wants to leave. am I reading too much into it? I probably am. It's what I do. But like, it just looks like he wants to go, you know? You know, we got a couple questions about it. We'll talk about it later. But, you know, just like, it just seems like he wants to, like, be the main focus. And he's never going to be that
right
with Luka here. Like, that's never going to happen, you know? So.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your thoughts are on that or what, but
just the KP situation in general is a weird one because we know I don't know if the current iteration of KP is physically capable of the things we think he is, but I don't know. He's most effective when he's mobile, and he just doesn't look mobile anymore. Like, the only times he looked comfortable in this series were baseline cuts from the corner and shooting from the corner. That's about it.
Right.
Like, he's not even the guy he was in the bubble last year, and I'm putting it at like 95% that he's on the roster because our front office is stubborn and does not like to admit being wrong, especially with big moves like this. So he's on the roster to open the season, and I guarantee you by then we're going to have talked ourselves into this. Okay, well, now he's got a full off season. He ended a season healthy. We're going to give him more games and more minutes and all this stuff. As far as chemistry with Carlisle, I mean, Cuban already came out and said we're not making
a change. Yeah,
because there's no, he just pretty much said the grass isn't greener and there's no clear better options. So we're gonna have Carlisle, and I'm, like I said, in my own head, it's 90%+ we're gonna have Porzingis here, and it's got potential to just be weird again.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. Like, I don't know, man, like, I was hoping to have a very drunk podcast today, you know, talking about a win. But, you know, can't have everything. There's a universe out there where we've won, and, you know, there's a fucking pandemonium by the AAC. But, don't know, man. I'm trying to think of anything else like about this season in general that just like stuck out. I think like the fact that, you know, they couldn't like really practice together, you know, a lot, you know,
yeah.
like literally and like having like 4 games in a week, 5 games in 1 week, you know, in a seven day span, it's crazy. And it was a shortened season, which is like even crazier because it's like, what the hell are we doing? I don't know, man. Like, you know, injury concerns were a big thing this year too. Like, just, you know, guys kind of just being out. Like, I'm really surprised Luka didn't miss a lot of games, honestly. Like,
same.
Like, I'm super, super, like, I don't know. Like, he's, you know, the kid's 22. Like, he's just, he can bounce off of anything, I think, at this point. This age, at his age right now, when it gets a little older, it's going to be a little harder. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I said, do you guys have any other, like, insights on the season so far? The season that we just had, basically, so.
I think it was just chaotic. Like, you could never really get your footing because it was 72 games in, what was that, like 4.5 months? Like, that's tighter than usual. You had rescheduling games because of COVID. Like, there was just never really a chance to be like, okay, we're here and we need to do this. It was always just win the game or else you're screwed. And I hope the next year with a hopefully normal 82-game season, we'll be able to have a more collected team altogether.
That's a good take, yeah. I mean, man, this offseason is going to be fucking weird. I was like, damn, okay, like, Summer League is in August. Like, it's so weird it being that late. And then just, like, you know, like, we can start, like, talking to free agency, I think, like, on the 2nd of August. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But it's just like, damn, dude, like, I'm so used to things being earlier. Like, at this point, normally we're, like, halfway through the finals. Like, you know, like, in a normal season. But things aren't normal, and they haven't been normal for a while. I don't know, guys. Damn, I forgot to do an ad read. I'm going to do that right now. all right, let's see. Okay. So guys, one of our sponsors this week is Locker Room. Locker Room is a live audio only sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. It's really cool, actually. Perfect for watch parties. You can do debates, post game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. I've had fun on it. I've been on it a few times. I get stage fright talking in front of people, even when it's virtual. So I usually just wait. You know, I usually have a few brewskis in me when I go on there and just like spew dumb shit. So again, like, Locker Room is free. It's an audio only social media platform. You know, you literally just download the app. I know they're in the Apple Store, and they recently introduced the Android version, which is cool. So if you're an Android person, you know, you can also get on there too. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app. You can create your profile, link your Twitter, and join. Like, there's different groups. Like, I know there's like an MFL group. There's like a Mavs Twitter group. You know, there's a bunch of random stuff. You can follow me there at Reddit Mavericks. I'm not on a lot, really. And if my room does go live, I guess you can see that. I think if you follow me, it shows that I went live. We may start doing that more during the off season. I don't know. We'll just see. Things are busy, crazy. But yeah, so that's our ad read for the day, our one ad read. So guys, if you guys don't mind, I think we can go ahead and go into questions because we got quite a few, actually.
Well, do you want some real quick positive basketball vibes?
Oh, I do. Yes, please.
Your Dallas Wings 68, Seattle 67. They hand the Storm their second loss of the season.
No shit. What?
No.
Yo, no fucking way.
After taking them to overtime and kind of a crazy ending the other night.
Yeah, that
was horrible.
That game made me so, like, on top of the Mavs loss, I was so pissed the other night, dude. Oh my God. Are you fucking serious? Holy shit. Hold on.
Yeah, but up in Seattle. So take one of the best teams in the league. They were 7-1 before the back-to-back. Take them to OT one night and beat them two nights later.
Oh, my God, dude. That's fucking... Damn, I just saw the shot. Holy shit. That is awesome. Okay. Yes, okay, that's very positive vibes. Thank God, because
we needed it.
Dallas needed that, so... okay, it's going to go into questions. That's awesome, though, man. Fucking the Wings. I'm so happy. I want to go to games so bad. Like, I just need to figure out, like, I know they're still, like, you know, they're restricting how many fans can go in there, which is smart. You know, like, I know it's out there in Arlington, but I'm a teacher, so I have summer off, so it's like whatever. You know, I'm kind of down to go whenever. You know, okay. So
I'm out there in Arlington, and I haven't been able to find where they're selling tickets. So if anybody knows the answer to that,
Let
me know.
See, please, you know, if the Dallas Weeds are listening to this, let us know how we can buy tickets, because we love to support.
Please, I will buy tickets.
We have zero issue becoming a Wings podcast if we can get free tickets.
Well, yeah.
Plus, I go to UTA for college, so I'm already there.
Well, like, already
play in our stadium.
Yeah,
just let me know. There. Like,
yeah. All right, let's see. First question comes from this is a bit. Let's see. Luca's favorite ref, and it's the ref that he smiled at a while back.
Yes.
Why am I still sad and crying over this loss? You know what? I will say that as a fan, you can react any way you really want to, as long as it doesn't hurt people, basically.
For sure.
You know, if you're still sad about this, like, it's absolutely valid. Like, you know, like, I'm pretty easy just to, like, I kind of bounce back. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, because for me anyway, it's once I realize I have, like, no actual input on what happened. You know, like, yes, I'm still superstitious, but I don't. Like, I have no actual, like, willpower over the team, you know? So once I do that, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I can get over the loss. Like, you know, like, I still may think about it in a couple of days, but it's not, like, permeating in my brain, you know, forever. So what about you guys? What do you guys want to give?
I think those are completely natural emotions that are just a continuation of what you feel over a long season. And I also wanted to make sure to answer that way, because it's the first time all day I've seen something called continuation.
Fuck. Oh boy, here we go.
Damn. I mean, yeah. The refs were, a little sketchy at times. So, Isaac, got anything to add?
I think it's just, I'm agreeing with what you said. You know, this loss still hurts me a little bit. I'm not completely over it, but it's one of those things where there's not much you can do. They had, you know, some people aren't going to agree with this. They had, I feel like, a pretty good season. You take the good with the bad, and you hope that they can make the appropriate changes in the offseason.
Yep, that's a good answer. Let's see. Next question comes from Doyle McPoyle. They ask,
okay.
Why is it always pain?
Oh, no.
It's all life is, man. That's all life is for most, for like 99.9% of the population. It's pain. Why did the Mavs spend the offseason trying to avoid having to go after guys like Burke and Boban in the clutch, only to do exactly that today? Dude, I have no fucking idea. Man, I don't know what the I don't know what the fuck this front office is doing, but I think this is the offseason where Luka starts making some suggestions.
Demands?
Yeah. Suggestions. Suggestions. I'm not saying demands. Okay. I'm not saying demands yet until he signs that extension.
Well, Luca,
we need to see that extension soon. Like,
yeah, like, I need to see that shit signed and, like, on Twitter. I'm like, okay, cool, we got it.
I literally turned on Woj's notice for that alone. Like,
I almost just said Loki because there's a Loki commercial running right now on ESPN. Luca is gonna make some calls in the offseason, since he's like this master drive and kick guy and finding open guys. I really think Luka needs a shooter that can just, like, consistently bury those shots, because we didn't have that at times. And looking up and down the roster, I'm wondering if we can move the Josh Richardson contract for some kind of maybe shooter. Anyone got any little brothers or big brothers in the league that can shoot like 45-50%, score 30 in a playoff game? This is the type of guy I'd want on the roster. Maybe trade Josh Richardson for him.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from Jorge. How do you feel about Julio going to the Titans? not a basketball question, which is fine. I don't really watch football as often. I do think Julio Jones going to the Titans is fucking scary as shit, though. So, I mean,
yeah.
good for them. You know, Ryan Tannehill is a great, great quarterback from what I've seen. So,
if you've ever seen Derrick Henry and AJ Brown standing together and you stand Julio Jones next to that, that just looks like a team that can beat your ass. So,
yeah.
No, exactly. They're going to be good.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. You know, whatever. Shout out Tennessee. And a personal question for me, how are you recharging after that grueling school year we just had for teachers? He said in Spanish because it was hard as hell. I mean, I just, like, you know, so, like, my fiance, like, she just, like, she sleeps a lot in the summer. Like, just, you know, gets a lot of sleep done. And then for me, like, I work out a lot. I've been working out a lot. I'm studying for other certs I want to get within the field. Yeah, you know, just, like, watching sports, you know, watching TV, watching movies. So, you know, I'm still trying to gauge my brain, but, you know, sometimes it's a little hard. So,
can I answer that too? Since yes. I was a teacher this That's semester. Right.
Yes,
too?
You were. Yes.
I think it's just, you know, this isn't for teaching because obviously I've only been doing it for 1 year. But, like, whenever you have a tough time where you don't really know if you want to keep doing something, my biggest philosophy is just go back to when you started and, you know, remember the reasons that you started doing it. And that'll help you find the motivation to keep going. You know, you forget the good when there's a lot of bad going on.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Wyatt. Okay. You have to keep 5 players on from the current roster. Who do you lock down and why? So I would go if I had to pick 5. I'm keeping Jalen. I'm keeping Dwight. Who else? Jalen, Dwight. Keeping Tim. Dorian and Luca.
I thought you were about to forget Luca. I was like, oh my god.
No. I was saving it for last.
Gotcha.
Those are the 5 guys where I'm like, yeah, I gotta keep those guys because, like, I think, you know, like Tim, I think Tim needs Luca.
Yes.
You know, Tim needs Luca. I think Luca and Dwight are, like, really close already. So it's like, it just makes sense. You know, they have good synergy, especially once we saw, oh shit, like, Dwight's getting his hops back. I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
You know, Jalen is just, like, he's not the pass oriented guard. You know, he's a good bench piece, but he's not. It's weird. Like, he's a good bench piece, but he's not. He's a shooter. You know, like, he might as well just be. He's kind of like an undersized shooting guard. You know, but I mean, bro, he knows what he's doing, and he's been in, like, very tight situations before. Dorian, based off what he did today alone, where he had, like,
exactly
6 offensive rebounds, I'm like, yes, okay, like, when he's locked in, it's fucking great. So, you know, and Luca's always fucking Luca. So
Luca also loves Dorian. He'll bring him up, like, unprompted in post game interviews all the time. Even on nights where Dorian goes, like, 2 for 8, Luca will deflect questions about himself and be like, just, did you see what Dorian was doing? The hustle plays, the defense, the effort. So, yeah, I think Dorian is, like, other than Boban, Luca's favorite teammate, so he can stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Next question comes from... Okay, so I'm going to kind of combine these two. It's, like, from someone named, I think, Mario, and then someone named Boomer. They're asking realistic trade ideas or signings we can make to make us an actual contender, and also, like, players that are just on the wish list that seem realistic. So, I want the second free agency opens, give Rashawn Holmes $21 million a year,
I want Holmes and Buddy. Can we rob the Kings? Is that possible?
The Kings will usually do that for you.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
they rob themselves.
We can give you KP, the next Dirk. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Let's go.
No, I definitely want. I'm all in on Rashawn Holmes. If we can somehow get Smart, Marcus Smart. Not well, obviously.
Yes, I saw that rumor today.
Yeah, which I'm like, okay, Marcus Smart. Yes, I would do it instantly. Like, I don't know. We can swindle fucking Brad Stevens, bro. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing yet.
First deal is us finessing him.
Yes, that'd be fucking great. It's a great, great start to his tenure as a, you know, president of basketball operations. I'd love to get him. I still think Bradley Beal is attainable somehow. I don't know how, but I'm hoping the front office listens to Twitter sometimes. Like, you know?
Yes.
I think he's attainable. Those are the names that immediately stick out to me, you know? And that means, like, some guys are going. Like, that means, like, KP is probably fucking gone, which, I mean, at this point, I think that's what we mutually want, it seems like.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, okay, let's get it done. It might mean, like, Tim isn't here, which, I mean, like, if we get Bradley Beal, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, Tim can fucking walk.
I love you, Tim,
yeah, but it's fucking Bradley Beal, a guy, a shooting guard that can handle the ball. Like, yes, you know. Those are the names for me, anyway. I know about you guys, but.
I'm just trying to think of shooters that are affordable, and I don't know that list, because everyone's getting paid nowadays.
I'm saying, like, unfortunately, like, you have to pay guys, like, a little more than what they're worth. And then, you know, yeah, you got to pay more than what they're worth. And, you know, I think this is the time now to pay the fucking luxury tax. Like,
yes.
I think this is the time you need to start fucking doing that. And if you get, like, the fucking MLE and stuff like that, you have to fucking use it, dude. Like, I don't know on what or who, but you have to use it. Like, we can't be fucking just, you can't be, fucking around and just, like, letting that shit expire. Like, it's not, you can't be doing that shit. So it's free money, basically, from, you know. So what about you, Tim? You got anybody you're looking to, you want to grab?
I go everything you guys just said, but I will throw in, because Chris Paul is going to turn down his $44 million player option, and you're going to hear his name. You're going to hear his name, and just stop. He's getting 3 for $130 from Phoenix, especially if they go to the finals this year. Like,
you think they're giving him 3 for $130 at his age?
I think they're the best team left in the West. I really do. Well, I guess I would like to see them in Utah. Without Jamal Murray, I think we're going to see them in Utah in the conference finals. But, like, I don't know. I think just the way he's proved over these last 2 years that just – the way he elevates teams, like, I think he's got, this is the way the NBA works, right? If he's got one or two of those years left in him, they'll pay him for three.
Right.
So yeah, especially if they make a Western Conference Finals or a finals trip this year and Phoenix feels like they're that close, like, they're Phoenix. They're going to back up the Brinks truck and, like, try to maintain this for as long as possible.
Yeah.
True.
It's like, I mean,
yeah, I'm just.
Chris Paul I would love Chris Paul here, but, you know. Even at his age, bro, like, he's still, like, doing what he does, and it's fucking amazing. So,
oh, for sure. I didn't mean that as a slight at Chris Paul. Yeah. I just thought of that, of him making $45 million in his age 39 season. Like,
oh yeah, you know, yeah, I know, for us, that could be an issue. But let's see. Next question comes from Mavs Estonia. So it's the Estonian fan account. Yeah, I love this dude. Why do we play zone entire game versus one of the best shooting teams in the history of the sport? I don't know. I have no idea why we did that. Again, I think we just didn't adapt the way we needed to. And I don't know if Rick even has, like, the personnel to do that, really. Like, you know, we just have turnstiles on fucking defense a lot of times. I mean, there were times where I saw, like, flashes of, like, oh, shit, this is actually decent defense. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, if you want the, you know, and I'm not defending this answer, but this is the team answer. So that's the answer I'm going to give this person. They wanted to shut down Kawhi in the paint. And you put Boban and KP in the paint. Kawhi's percentages, everyone's percentages on the Clippers went down. But on the flip side, you give up threes. So that's, they chose to give up threes instead of layups.
Yeah. And I mean, which, like,
I hate that it has to be that option. You should be able to defend both.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's their answer for going zone.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. Like, doing a zone in 2021 where, like, it's a three happy, like, time in the history of the
sport. Exactly.
It's like, it's not productive. You got anything to add, Tim?
I mean, if the focus of the zone is Kawhi and Paul George, then, I mean, it kind of works, but, you know. Morris shot 7 of 9. Reggie Jackson hit 2 backbreakers late, even though he wasn't shooting. He was not shooting well the entire game, and then hits those 2 massive ones.
Yep.
I mean, it's like
that one to put him up 10 with 140. Oh, that killed me. That broke my heart.
Yeah, when it gets to 114-107, it's like your ears perk up a little bit, and you're thinking, I seriously started getting Game 2 2011 finals like
same.
Vibes
I thought
a little
Luka
bit.
was about to drop 50. Like, I thought that was going to be it. And then,
yeah, my entire hope the fourth quarter was just hinging on, okay, the Clippers can still Clipper here. They have a long history of it.
Exactly.
And so once we got it to seven, I'm like, all right. And you know what? Make Reggie Jackson be a hero late. Make Marcus Morris go 7 of fucking 9 from deep. Like, fine. Whatever. I hate that
you
it had to
you
be
have
Morris,
to live with
but
that. Yeah.
It's better than the slow Kawhi death. And Kawhi still had 28, 10, and 9 on 10 of 15 shooting.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
That dude is just. I have no words left about Kawhi. I have as many words about Kawhi as Kawhi has about Kawhi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only Clipper I respect is Kawhi. Like.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Fuck the rest of them. Go Utah.
Let's see. Next question comes from Mark. He asks, I was thinking this could be for you guys too, but what's your favorite Mexican joint? So I'm assuming like a restaurant. So there's a place in Dallas. It's in East Dallas. Yeah, it's East. It's kind of East Dallas. It's called Perdidos. I love that fucking place. I used to go there all the time when I was little. So, and these have the best fucking tacos I think I've ever had in actual Dallas. So yeah, you guys have any favorite Mexican places you like to get food?
I don't know if I got my favorite, but I did have Taco Bueno tonight, so that counts.
No, it does not count. It does not fucking count.
Just kidding.
This tiny little spot in Plano. I think there's only one of them. I think it's called Chili's.
Called Chili's?
I'm fucking with you. It is not
okay.
Chili's.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I've gotten really into anything that looks like it's... Anything that like looks like it's connected to or basically like half gas station, sign me up. Or Shrubs.
Dude. Gas station Mexican food fucking rules, dude. I love that shit. Okay. Let's see.
Or whenever they have the spot to get in line and order stuff at the back of any Mexican market you go to.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
Straight there.
Absolutely. Let's see. Luca Cooking Clips. That's a great name. Can you ask Luca ? Dude, I don't have to tell you. I wish Luca would come on the podcast. I've asked him before. He has said to not say anything to me yet. I might contact Mavrello to see maybe if we can open up a communication line there. So, but I'll keep trying.
I assume when you ask Mavrello, you're actually asking Luca. So
yeah, right. Let's see. Next question comes from Jose. Do you think Danny Ainge can come and change this team? No. Danny Ainge to me is
I think
not...
Danny Ainge is retiring.
I think he's done. I think he's done for one thing. Secondly, no. He hasn't had the best track record. I mean, like, he's done great, like, drafting, you know, Jaylen Brown and, you know, Jason Tatum. But I think beyond that, though, man, like, they always seemed like on the cusp of making a move and then never made a move. And then just like constantly talking about it to the media, like, oh, like we were going to do this. And then, you know, that fell through and blah, blah, blah. So no, I don't think he would, you know,
I mean, he did get good value for Pierce and Garnett. He was able to fleece the Nets. Like
true.
No one's ever seen like,
true. Yeah. Yeah. The Nets were just so fucking, they were
desperate.
Yeah. Desperate. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see. You got anything to add, Tim?
He can absolutely change this team, but if you're just asking change and not change positively, then, you know, it's a different question.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Omar, and I like this question a lot. I've been thinking about it, actually. Is the he's doing what we're asking him to do narrative with KP a trade value strategy? Now, that's interesting. Because, because Rick has been, you know, kind of gassing him up for no reason, and everybody's like, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, you know, like, there's no evidence, you know. Oh, there's some evidence recently.
Think,
like, he played decent defense, but yeah. Sorry, go.
I think the Rick stuff's just 100% was an attempt to keep him engaged. Yeah, nothing more than nothing less.
Okay. I mean,
I think it was also to vaguely keep the Clippers to where they had the game plan for him. You know, they couldn't just ignore him. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. His
16 tonight was kind of showing out for him in this series.
It really was. It was like a breakout.
No,
game.
For sure.
I mean, six of 12, but like also 0-5 from deep. It's weird.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Next question comes from 2RW. You want some off-season overview? I don't know, man. I think the off-season's going to be weird. I think half this roster is different next year. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that means, like, hey, like, Josh Green will be stepping up, actually having a role, Tyrell Terry having a role, you know, Tyler Bade, you know, whatever. Like, the three rookies basically doing stuff, name hitting. I think that we don't have a lot of, like, trade value stuff at the moment, but we can gain that, I think, just by, like, making some trades, basically, with, you know, like, I think if we were to try to get rid of, like, KP and stuff like that, like, it would have to include, like, a pick or, like, Brunson or someone valuable, like, one of the Maxey or Dorian, because their contracts are fucking ridiculous, ridiculously cheap. I don't know, man. There's just so much that could happen this offseason, and I wish I had better answers for you. But it's kind of late. Not really late, but, you know, I've been up for, like, since 5:30. So, just because my brain was like, I got to wake up and got to be super hyped for the game. That ended up being bullshit, but it's whatever. I don't know. Do you guys have any, like, overviews for, like, what we need to do or anything like that?
The pessimist in me says that we're just going to see the exact same roster next year. I hope that's not the case, but I'm just scared this front office is going to get complacent. And, like, you know, we took a contender to 7. We can run it back. And, ugh.
Yeah, Luka's
going to. That's what I'm scared of.
It's like Luka's going to have to average 60, you know, like.
Exactly.
To get us out in 7, yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything to add, Tim?
I mean, the hope is a young team continues to progress if we don't add any major pieces, and that the 2020 draft class actually gets some kind of run next year. I thought Jalen was incredible this year, Jalen Brunson. I don't know why he was like, he couldn't get run in this series. It felt like he got his minutes, but it didn't feel anything like what it was in the regular season. I was surprised to see Trey Burke out there today instead of him for that stretch. Yeah. But
yeah.
You know, it's overall, it's a young team, and I think the optimism is somehow, some way, the God Luka takes another step forward, and, you know, maybe some of the young guys actually kind of start filling some roles.
I think he's going to add 95% free throw shooting and then, like, the sky hook.
Oh.
Out of nowhere, bro. He's going to add both of that shit and be like, what the fuck is he doing?
He doesn't have that first 10. He knows when the season is going to start, so he doesn't have that first, like, true, weird five-game stretch.
Yeah, that's going to be good, too. Like, it should be pretty solidified, you know, for the next season. So the next question comes from Mike. Mike asks, is KP's contract one of the 5 worst in the NBA right now? Is it even tradable? Yes, I think anything in this league is tradable.
Yeah.
You know, the return probably won't be as, like, what we would want.
That John Wall contract proves it, like.
Right? I know, John Wall for fucking Russell Westbrook, straight up. that was crazy. I forget all about that, man.
Yeah.
Let's see, especially because Houston was shit this year, and, you know, the Wizards got bounced out. So, in, like, 5 games, something like that. Anyway, I think I would say that it probably is one of the 5 worst in the NBA at the moment. It just looks bad in retrospect. And I know why we did it. I know why we did it. And it made sense at the time. It made sense at the time. But still, like, even then I was like, let's see how this goes. Like when that's, like, the major thing your front office is doing that night, you know, going out and getting dinner with KP, even though, like, it was already, like, it's a formality at that point, you know?
Right.
When really, I think Donnie probably should have been on the phone call on the phone, but whatever. So,
I don't know. I'm not a huge, you know, I don't really know contracts that well, but I just hope that somebody would have been like, "Hey KP, take a 2+1, a 3-year instead of a 5-year."
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well,
I don't know if that was ever possible.
I don't think KP was looking for that anyway. So.
Yeah.
Tim, you got anything to add?
No, it's just bad. It's just a bad deal right now. That's why I think he's on the roster to at least start next year.
Yeah.
Other teams are going to want to wait and see, too.
Yeah, I think especially after this, the shit show that was the playoffs for him. let's see. John asks, do y'all watch any FIBA games? If so, teams to watch. I do. I actually, I really, really actually love international basketball whenever I can find it. I do definitely root for, like, Mexico, even though we're not that good. We're one of the lower ranked teams in the world at the moment. Really, our one star is Juan Toscano Anderson, who is the, you know, player for the Warriors. And like Gustavo Ayon, who plays for, I think he still plays for Real Madrid. So, but yeah, like I watch them. Whenever I find, like, I love watching like the Eastern European teams. I love watching Australia. Australia has a fun fucking team. Who else? Spain. Spain's always really fun. And I actually do like to watch like the Philippine teams, the Filipino teams, only because, you know, I've found out that the Philippines loves basketball, and I just want those guys to be good, like, so bad, even though I think everyone there has suffers from the same fate that a lot of Latinos do, in fact, that we're short, so, but, yeah, I do watch FIBA. What about you guys? Do you guys watch FIBA at all, or?
I don't, personally. I love watching any good basketball, so every now and then I'll come across a FIBA game on, like, NBA TV at, like, 10 in the morning, but not really. I don't really follow it enough.
Yeah. What about you, Tim?
I watched what Mavs drafts, what, like, the highlights he tweets. That's about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but so, yeah. Let's see. He also says, thank you, guys. I appreciate all the stupid, crazy, exciting, and random tweets. Cannot thank you guys enough for all the hard work, the podcast, and the website, everything. So, appreciate it, man. Really, dude, you have been, like, supporting us for a long time, and we really appreciate you. Just, you know, listening every week and hanging out with us virtually, you know, stuff like that. So, appreciate it. Next question comes from Chris. is Bradley Beal a good fit for the Mavs? Yes.
Can he dribble?
Yeah, can he dribble? Can he shoot? Yes.
Okay. Can he shoot the ball? Like, yes. Like,
can he play decent defense? Yes. Like, yes.
Exactly. Doesn't even need to be decent, just effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he show effort? Yes, he does. Yes. I'm telling you, bro, I will drive him here myself. I will drive up to DC and pick him up and come back, bro. Like, I will do that. So, Mark, if you're listening.
It's kind of one of those, like, is $1 million a good fit for my checking account? Yeah. I'm going to say yes, it is.
Let's see. Next question comes from Luke Doncic. They ask, I know, right? I was like, oh, Luke. Do you think Luka will be a Mav for life? Man, this is so hard. It's hard because, like, the NBA is so much different now than it was, like, when, like, Tim Duncan and, you know, Kobe and Dirk were around. And I don't know, man. I think he's a Mav for at least, like, the next 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say. I think me and Squish have talked about it on the podcast, off the podcast, where basically if you're a rookie, right, and you sign that first extension all the time, it's the second contract you gotta worry about.
That's exactly
one, you know, that's one you gotta worry about. Like, I don't know how many, I'm sure the number of players that have turned down their extension, that first extension, it's probably really fucking low. I feel like if you put good teams around Luka, which, I mean, again, front office, please fucking do that. I think if we do that, if we show that we're trying, if we win a few series, if we make, like, the Western Conference Finals, if we make the finals a few times, if we win the finals, like, he'll stay here, you know?
Yeah.
As long as he wants to. And I would love for him to be here for, like, 15, 16 years and then, like, go back to Real Madrid as, like, a swan song, you know? I think that would that'd be, like, super poetic, you know? Like, you know, he won in Madrid. You know, he won there when he was younger. You know, won a couple of chips here with Dallas, and then, you know, goes back to, you know, Real Madrid just to finish off his career. That'd be poetic to me. So,
right. I have a question to add onto this real fast. I just want to get y'all's thoughts on it. Do you think if Luka retired tomorrow, he's a Hall of Famer?
Easy. Yep. Easy. Because
I think so. Because I think so too.
Because the Basketball Hall of Fame is like all encompassing. So
it's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's right. It's everything. So yeah, he's absolutely in it. Like if he retired tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, cool. Like he even got some, NBA accolades. So that's even a perk, you know.
Right.
Let's see. Next question comes from MFG. They say patience. Talk about patience. If Dirk had been a rookie in the Twitter era, we would have thrown him under the bus after the first season. Getting KP going and build around him and Luka is our best shot. Nothing we would get for him makes things better. You know what, man? That's actually a really good thought process. You know, the only thing though is that like Twitter is a vacuum, and people constantly just like it's instant gratification. You know, which is how things are in the world now. Like you gotta have it now. You know, it's true though. Like, you know, like 2 years ago, like we weren't in the playoffs. Last year, in a weird, you know, COVID shortened season, bubble everything,
we still
made playoffs. You know, got bounced in six. This year, COVID stuff still around, obviously. Made playoffs even despite a lot of our, you know, guys suffering from COVID and other stuff, and you know, got bounced in seven, which I guess is an improvement, but not really. But I think you're right. I think the time to start worrying is when Luka is in like year two of that extension and it's like, oh shit, you know?
Right.
That's my time to worry, but that's a few years off from now. So
our goal for next season needs to win a playoff series. That needs to be the minimum.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. That's not necessarily part of this question.
No. What do you think, Tim?
Well, just real quick, this stat just scrolled across ESPN. They're showing the stats from Game 7 on the bottom of the screen.
Oh,
numerically and poetically, so this is Luka Doncic, 1 point short of most ever in a Game 7, but did set a Game 7 record. Scored and assisted. Anyone want to guess? Scored and assisted on this
on
amount of points?
Points.
It was like 77.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, numbers. Numbers are weird.
I tweeted that. I was like, of course it was 77.
Yeah. Let's see.
We all just thought he was going to score 77 today.
Right.
And after the first quarter, I was like, okay, maybe we're not joking here.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the first quarter, I was like, he's going to need 60 for us to win. And I wasn't kidding. I was like.
Yep, that was it. All right, let's see. Next question comes from. It comes from Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA. Nice. I like that.
Love it.
Was Rick Carlisle benching his starters only 5 minutes into game three after Luka and friends came out on historic hawk streak, the worst decision in NBA history? And why is the answer yes?
Oh my God.
Bro, I mean, dude, I was at that game and I was like, this is fucking.
Me too.
I was like, oh my God, bro, we're about to fucking destroy the fucking AAC in happiness. And then after the game, I was like, I want to destroy this in
anger.
Yeah, in anger. So, I mean, that was such a fucking weird move. Again, Rick has had really weird moves this season, the playoffs. Getting outcoached by Ty Lue is not what I was expecting.
Painful.
So,
It was just really sucky because he coached circles around Ty Lue in the first two games. Yeah. And then Ty Lue goes small, which isn't even that extreme of an idea, and Rick is befuddled. I don't know. I don't get it.
And their small isn't even, like, super small because all of those guys are, like, 6'8 and have incredible length. So it's not like it's this massive curveball to go small. But it was the timeout – or, no, it was taking Luka out in game three, and then it was – I'm still – baffled. I think you guys talked last podcast. The timeout in game six was 7.5 minutes to go.
When they were up one on the run. Yeah.
And Luke is openly pissed off about that one. Like,
right.
On the bench, almost screaming at him. I've said in the past that Rick Carlisle has never had a series where he's been at a talent advantage and lost since he's been with the Mavs. I don't want to say he had the talent advantage and lost here, but he had the 2-0 lead, and he made moves that cost the Mavs games, in my opinion. Or cost them the kind of, and you can go back and forth on the existence of momentum. He stopped the game at moments where there was blood in the water. And, you know,
yeah,
it just, you're going to be asking your what ifs. And if you want to, honestly, if you want to say, someone asked me after the game, oh, why did the Mavs lose today? I think, dude, they lost that game Friday night.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there was your chance. Despite how the first six games had gone with the road teams winning, yeah, there was your chance. Yeah. That was the moment.
Yep. Next question comes from Hyped PH. Starting to lose faith in Porzingis, to be honest. Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's a valid concern, you know. He doesn't flow well with our offense. We have a very flowy offense, and he kind of plays like a robot, almost, like, where the movements are just, they look weird, you know, when compared to, like, other guys, like, just, like, the way they move, I guess. I don't know. That is a concern. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen this offseason, you know. I'm hoping things change, whether it be, like, him, you know, getting his head out of his ass, or him leaving, like, I don't know, you know. But something's gonna have to change. It could be a, this could end up being a addition by subtraction sort of deal. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know about you guys.
I hope it works, but it doesn't look like it's going to. So that's kind of where I sit on it.
Yeah. You want to add, Tim?
I'm shocked that someone is still starting to lose faith in Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question. Oh, I forgot to add this to another question. Whoops. I'll answer it, though. Ham asks, who do you want in the offseason? Give me Rashawn Holmes or Bradley Beal. Boom. That's all I want. That's it. I mean, if Chris Paul is available and we'll take a shortened deal, I'm cool with that, too. Let's see. Next question comes from Jonathan. This isn't really a question, but the Mavs should do everything in their power to acquire Beal without giving up Luka. That'd be the main target, or monitor Dame. Now, Dame's interesting because, you know, I don't think he's very happy with the way the front office is managing this, the coaching stuff. Now, would he leave?
Yeah.
Now, would he leave? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean, we have a 7'3", you know, white guy on the team if you guys want him, Portland. But, you know, if Dame was here, dude, fuck. Like, that'd be fucking crazy. I'd be down for that. Yeah, I do think that we do. I think Beal out of those two is like the more realistic, and even then it's not very realistic, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I'd rather, you know, go after Beal. But if Dame has interest and like starts talking to Luka, I'm cool with it. So
exactly.
So what about you guys? What do you guys think?
I think the way to get Beal is if if Washington wants to go full Philadelphia, trust the process, and be saddled with that KP contract on purpose for the next few years and just be picking in the top three every single year and giving Beal back for that kind of contract, like money would work and like what the focus of purposely being bad, like that would work. But, you know,
I'm
still with you. That's not realistic. That's like a 2-3%. On my meter of how real is that. So
yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, I think the only way anybody trades for Beal is if they go full trust the process mode, which means they also get rid of Russell Westbrook, which means you have to get rid of KP's bad contract to pay Russell Westbrook $50 million in 2023. Like,
oh man.
Russ can go play in Cleveland and they can trade him for Kevin Love and they can just have all the 7-foot white dudes that are insanely overpaid.
Giving up on their teams.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from, I won't say your name right, dude. Murr, I hope I'm saying that right. Nope, not a question, but I made this because he's sleeping till the next season, but also because I'm going to fucking miss Thanos poo for a while. So he edited like a Mav jersey onto a purple poo and he's sleeping. So I was like, that's great. I'm going to use that later. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting me use that later. Our next question comes from it comes from Squish. Who are you?
Oh, I saw this one. Yeah.
Fuck you, Squish. Okay. You're at my house today. disrespecting me at my own home. Like, what the... No, it's fine. No, no, it was cool to have him over. Like, you know, he lives pretty... We live pretty close to each other at the moment. So, you know, and my dogs didn't attack him, even though I've trained them to go after everybody that I don't like. But, yeah, no, it was a... Squish, come over again sometime soon, bro. My dogs already miss you. Okay, last question. Aww. Last question comes from Cowboy Sherman. Do you have the ref's personal info? Asking for a friend. Name's Wick. Oh, John God. Wick. Bro,
oh, man.
If I had their personal info, I would absolutely, like, I don't know, give it to John Wick. I'll do that in a heartbeat. And not to kill them, but like to threaten them. Be like, hey, quit fucking around, you know?
Right.
Those are all the questions, guys. So, I mean, that was the end of the season. I think next week we're going to have, it's going to be me, Squish, and Don. I think we're going to talk about just like the season in general. You know, kind of what we're doing the off season, because the off season starts today. So, I guess technically tomorrow, but really, like, it starts
tomorrow.
Yeah, like today we're just all mopey and whatever. I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you, Tim, for coming on. You know, it's kind of last minute because, again, we weren't gonna record anything because we're all just bummed out. But I feel like we need to put out something for the people, because we've done it almost every game this playoff season, and we're gonna go back to doing the one a week podcast format. This is usually only reserved the post game stuff is usually only reserved for playoff stuff. So, thank you guys again so much for coming on. Thank you everybody for sending questions, for making me laugh when I was reading some of these, making me think when I was reading some of these. You could subscribe to us at the Hoops and Advices podcast wherever you get podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. It helps us out a lot, actually. You can find Isaac and Tim's writings on the MFLs. On MFLs.com. They write really good stuff, man. There's gonna be more stuff coming on the off season. We have stuff coming out pretty soon. I know Squish has been harping at me about some ideas he has that sound really fucking fun. And that's it. So I'll see you guys later. Bye.
See you, gents.